Shout out Ref One. Yeah. All right. You think I didn't see that you stayed silent? That's like you endorsing it all. May as well stand behind them. I stood beside you, thought there was some good inside you. Situations like these, they force you to notice the difference. Look at me and Neeks, for instance. We know we live different lives and we've been on our separate missions. Look at how time flies. 20 years past, he's still the same guy. But I get it, you all wanna be the main guy. It explains why most people die not knowing who would've stuck by their side. It doesn't even cross their mind, they just go along for the ride. They'll never know their friend's decision, friends never had to decide.
101.7 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler. Looking to discover and support local businesses in our community? Then make sure you tune in every Friday at 8 a.m. to Truth in the Morning with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman for What the Business Is, powered by We Energies. Each week, you'll hear from local business owners as they share what their business is, where they are located, and one valuable lesson they've learned along the way. We Energies is proud to help power local businesses in the communities they serve. Don't miss What the Business Is every Friday at 8 a.m. only on Truth in the Morning with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman, powered by We Energies, delivering the energy that powers local businesses. Truth Nation, listen, we talking today, baby. We having a conversation today, baby. Yes, indeed. We are talking about relationships and friendships, right? Are you okay with your spouse having a friend of the opposite sex? And what does that look like? What does that look like for you? What does that look like for you? What is the boundary set in place? What is indicators? We had a caller earlier who stated that a good test would be for your significant other, fellas, to have your lady text her guy and ask him if he want to clap them cheeks. And if he respond a certain way, that ain't her friend.
Yup.
If he responds a certain way, he got to go.
Somebody come and look at this.
What are some of the things or some of the tests that you put your spouse through to determine, right? And how secure do you have to be to say, you know what? It's okay. It's okay for my significant other to have a friend of the opposite sex. One of the things I like to do, especially because I am a single woman, and I work in a male-dominated industry who are married or they have relationship, they're in a relationship, things of that nature. Whenever I'm working with someone or with the client, I always make sure that I build with their significant other as well. Now, in some instances, that's not the case because the relationship may be rocky, may be toxic, or it's just not needed based on how much I communicate with them. But for me, it makes everything easier business-wise and friendship-wise, right? The only difficult part is you may find yourself in the middle when you become friends with both. But I'd rather take that than to have a male friend and not be cool with their significant other. I think that lightens the load too. I think that makes it a little bit easier when you have a male friend and they are in a relationship and you're in a relationship. It just makes everything easier. It makes it easier on you. It makes it easier on her. It makes it easier on your spouse and your friend as well, because now the intentions are clear. I'm not saying that's the case all the time. I'm just simply saying that that may help the situation a little bit more. But me personally, when I'm dealing with men, especially in this industry, and they are in relationships, I try my hardest to make sure I have a relationship with whoever their spouse is so that A, they understand, baby, this is business. B, that if we do end up building a friendship outside of this personal bit, then you have a friend in me as well, because you two are one and the same, right? You're your own individual person, but you're one and the same. And that just shows the amount of respect that you have for someone in their situation as well, right? I think is extremely important. And I try not to, because I'm single, I try not to have, and this may sound crazy, but I try not to have men friends who are single. I try not to. Like, and I don't mean friends like my best friend. I mean like associates or colleagues or people I'm around that I'm doing business with, right? 9 times out of 10, they are not single. They are not single. They are not looking. They are in committed relationships. So there's, Nothing to worry about. Again, I'm not saying that's the case for everybody, but there's nothing to worry about. But I think that it takes a lot of maturity and it takes a lot of logical thinking in order for someone to accept their spouse or their significant other to have a friend of the opposite sex. I don't feel like my man should be limited to just male friends because there are a lot of dope women out here who may give him great advice, especially if he come from a family full of women who full of you know what, okay? Because we have those situations like that where there is, you're dealing with a man who has, who does not come from a family of women who will tell him the right things. I've had, my experiences hasn't been the best. The mama fool with it. The sister fool with it. They all going take his side. How I know? Because I'm a sister. I got eight brothers. And my brother, back in the day, my brother come in and be like, I used to always say, I don't want to meet your mama. I don't even want to meet your sister because they going to be loyal to whoever you bring through there. I promise you. Come in, hey, sis, this one. Oh, hey, how you doing? You nice to everybody? Got a relationship with everybody? Nah, man. But there are some men who don't necessarily come from a family of women who can give them the proper advice when it comes to relationships. They're going to side, you know, with them, especially if he's the breadwinner and the caretaker of the family. They dang near be jealous sometimes. Like if he gets in a relationship with somebody else or shows somebody else more attention, right? So it's okay for him to have, especially in those situations, for your spouse or a significant other to have female friends of the opposite sex, right? Especially when you're talking about business. There's rooms that women can walk into and make stuff happen that is more difficult for men to, right? There's advice that women can give men because we are a woman. We know how we want to be treated. So if you're going through something with your spouse, help your guy friend out. Put him on game. Let him know what his woman may be thinking and how she feeling so that he can do whatever it is he need to do to make sure that that situation is together. You know, again, you have to have a lot of maturity and you have to be secure enough in order to handle a situation like that, right? Don't mean, again, that the man is insecure if he don't want you to have someone of the opposite sex and all of that kind of stuff. That's not what it is. That's not what it is. To each his own. You have to go based off of the understanding that you guys have together, right? So I want to take it back to the beginning of the hour for those who are tuning in. Today we have been talking about friendships. We've been talking about balancing friendships. What does it look like to be a good friend, right? How do you have conversations with your friends about how they make you feel? Season, reason, lifetime. Some people come in your life for a reason, some for a season, and some for a lifetime. And you have to have a certain amount of discernment in order to determine which category they go in, right? Because a lot of times when we misplace people, that means that we have expectations that are not realistic. You want someone who is around for a season to be around for a lifetime. And then you wondering why your friendship and things that's happening the way that they're happening is happening the way that they're happening. Because you did not properly assess the relationship. You want them to be around forever when they were only meant to be in your life for a specific season. And I'm a good believer and a firm believer. If it's meant, it's going to spin a block. I promise you. If it's meant, it's going to let it go and it will come back to you. If it don't, then keep it pushing. But we have to get better at being able to determine who is supposed to be in our lives. I spend a lot of time allowing people that should have been not a part of my life a long time ago to stay around because I wanted them to be a part of my life forever because I'm not a transactional person. I don't know how to not love the way that I do. All right. I'm a lover lover. I love to love, not just relationships, but just humanity, just people, just life. I just love love. Right. So when I run into dope people and I do business with dope people, I want them to stick around because I want us to build something amazing. I want us to build something worth lasting. And a lot of times it's difficult because that's not what they're there for. And don't necessarily believe that just because someone is around for a season that that's a negative thing. That's not. Some people come just to help you get to that next level. They're called blessings. Some people are only in your life for a season because they're there to help you through something. And then once their job is done, then they move on. And that's okay. But for those who are around for a season and you're constantly trying to make them stay around, and relationships too. Some of y'all in relationships, y'all ain't got no business being in. That relationship wasn't even a season, baby. That was a reason. And you done took it all the way to a lifetime. And now you stuck and you don't know what you're going to do because you didn't make the correct assessment from the beginning. When this person came to you and they was talking about their other friends behind their back. When this person came to you and they was giving you all of the red flags from the beginning to show you why they need not to be in your life for forever. And you still forced it. You still made sure that they were around and now you're going through what you're going through. Some people have friends who were meant to be around for a reason or a season, and now they in a penitentiary doing life with those same friends because they did not make the proper analysis to keep them in the category that they needed to be kept in, right? We have to make better decisions. Lauren Taylor says, I am the single guy with 98% women friends. I have no desire to sleep with any of them because we have built a strong bond and trust, especially with those who are married. Absolutely. I feel the same way. The one time I asked people to help me move, only women showed up. Their husbands or my guy friends did not. Man, you got some real life women friends. If they come in to help you, but you know what? That makes sense. Because if my best friends ask me, I'm going to go and pack and all of that stuff too. Yeah. Yep. That's dope. We got to go to break. We are talking friendships and relationships. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth.
Tell me again, my baby. Oh, yeah.
Tell me again. Make sure you 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct, man. That's one heck of a song. We are talking friendships and relationships. Listen, are y'all comfortable with y'all significant other having friends of the opposite sex? That's what we was talking about before we went to break. I was basically saying that I'm okay with it, but I want to take it back to the top, right? How did we start? How did we get to this conversation? A lot of this stemmed from the story that has captured national attention. 18-year-old Nolan Wells, a young black college football player from Mississippi, died after a 4th of July trip to Horn Island with three white friends, right? Authorities say that investigation is ongoing while drowning is currently suspected. No final determination has been made. Nolan's family has raised questions about the circumstances surrounding his death and is asking for a full, transparent investigation. As we wait for answers, this tragedy raises important questions that goes beyond one case. What does it mean to be a true friend? If you go somewhere together, do you make sure everyone gets home? How do we respond when someone in our group is missing or in trouble? And why do some stories spark conversations about race, trust, and accountability, right? Today, I want us to think about, again, friendship, not just something as we enjoy, but as a responsibility. A real friend doesn't leave you behind. A real friend looks out for your safety. They speak up when something is wrong, and they value your life as much as they value their own. We are taking calls, and we want to hear from you, 833-212-1017. When I was growing up, I was taught that you leave with who you came with. If I'm going somewhere with a friend, that friend, unless they're leaving with their significant other, we leave together, right? I also was taught that My friends and their life matters just as much as mine. So I would never put my friends in a situation that would land them, you know, deceased or in jail. And when I go back and I listen to this video of him telling them that he don't know how to swim and them laughing at him and making monkey noises and all of this other stuff, it really, really hurts my heart. Not just because he passed away, but because I can't imagine how many of us have children or youth we know who have friends like this and they're dealing with it, but they're not saying anything because they just want to be accepted. They just want to be able to believe that these very people they call friends are really their friends and they're just playing around. Well, guess what? It's happening one too many times. Matter of fact, it's bigger than friendship. It's entitlement. We have wealthy, rich kids walking around here who parents are judges, doctors, lawyers, right? Financial advisors. They run all of the major corporations. And they feel entitled to do whatever they want to do because mommy and daddy is going to make sure that it goes away. Mommy and daddy is going to make sure that that drug case they caught when they was high off coke, speeding in their father's Mercedes Benz, that goes away. But that does not happen for our black babies. And then what do we do as a people? We work so hard. We say we don't want our kids to grow up in a certain environment. So we move them out to the suburban area, put them in private schools, pay all of this money only for them to be around cokeheads. Hello. Just because they go to a school that costs or is in a better neighborhood does not mean that what they're dealing with is better. It's just a different beast. New level, new devil. When you stay in the inner city and you go to public schools, you have to worry about violence. You have to worry about if your child can make it safe. When they go to these private schools around these rich, white, privileged children, you have to worry about racial slurs. You have to worry about drugs, hard drugs, not weed, but meth, coke, crack, heroin, all of the above. And it's not to take away from the parents who want a better life for their child. But again, you can't tell me. I'm not saying that this hasn't happened. But we know how black people are when it comes to water. In all seriousness, you can't tell me that if that young man was with 3 or 4 black other young men and women, that would have been the case. If someone is telling you they don't want to do something because they don't know how to swim, and allegedly they may have gave him a substance because they are one of the friends that they use drugs, and they forced him. They dang near forced him into doing whatever it is that they wanted him to do when it came to the water. He was afraid. When you listen to the video, he was afraid. He was afraid, and he kept saying it out of his mouth. He kept saying, I'm going to die. I don't know how to swim. You got a life jacket. He said, so what? He did not want to do it. And then they begin to make these monkey noises and, oh, you're going to cry like a baby for your mommy and all of this other stuff. To any youth listening, people like that, that is not your friend. Those are not your friends. Your friends will never put you in a situation like that. Your friends will never put you in a situation that will cost you your freedom or your life. We got a caller on the line. Brother Love, are you there?
Hey, how you doing? How you doing today?
I am well. How are you?
I'm feeling good. Great topic. You on fire today with this one.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree with you. I used to sell magazines door to door. In Vegas, I went from Kansas City to Vegas, going door to door, and then I had went out, flew out to Vegas. Yeah, I was in Vegas. So my first day I got there, I started swimming. You know, it was a late night pool, and I started, you know, and as I was swimming, I got halfway, I couldn't move, and I drowned, and I came back up, but I couldn't go forward, and I drowned again. I went back up the next time, I said, help, and a white guy came and saved me. I was at the bottom of the pool for about a minute. Yeah, yeah. And I lived through it. So it was the white guy that saved me. So, you know, he my angel. And I just love him. I love him for life for that. And I just want to know, why would God save me, but other good people way better than me, you know what I'm saying, just drown?
Yeah, that's a scary situation. You know, it's anything mm-hmm. pertaining to water, whether you know how to swim or not, is always a scary situation. But it isn't even mm-hmm. the fact of him. It's everything that happened prior to uh-huh. him getting inside of that body of water. If right. someone is telling you that they don't know how to swim, that they're afraid they're going mm-hmm. to die, as a friend, mm-hmm. your job is to protect them. Your job is to make sure that they are taken care of, that they feel safe, not to push them towards a situation where they feel like they're going to die. That's almost premeditation.
Could have been the water. Could have been like the currents. Could have been the water, something in the water that could cause the body to like, well, you know what I mean? The currents, it could be too strong in the water.
He didn't know how to swim. So even if you have a life jacket on and you're telling me to get in the water, I'm not getting in the water because I don't know how to swim. So,
right.
you know, again, it's right. the fact that that his friends, his so-called, those are not his friends. I won't even call them that anymore. The fact that those boys did not come to his rescue and put him in a situation to make him feel like that he was not safe and that he was going to, you know, pass away. Those are not his friends. Those are not his friends. You have to be careful who you are around and trust your discernment before anything. Trust how you feel to the youth. Anybody, trust how you feel. If something inside of you is telling you that something is not right, 9 times out of 10, it's not right. And you have to follow that. Shout out to the chat. LeRon Taylor says, the one time I asked people to help. Oh, I'm sorry, we read that already. Yes, but... again, figure it out, man. We have to make better decisions. And as you can see, a lot of this is happening to a lot of our black young men who are in high school, where they keep running into these situations. And what the media does is make it a race war, right? Not to say that race doesn't play a factor, but they're making it a race war. There's multiple situations of us seeing young black men dying or going to jail because of situations with other young white men in packs. We have to be able to teach our youth as well as our children what a real friend is. And you can start by leading with an example, by being that example. Your children listens to you when you sit on the phone and you gossip. Your children listens to you and they watch how you treat your friends. Your children watch everything you do. And if they feel like your friendships are not real friendships, then they'll begin to attract and hang around people who are not really their friends. And most importantly, it will hurt their feelings when they find out. But nowadays, it's costing them their life. So if you think that this topic is just, it's just friend. No, it matters. Because 9 times out of 10, think about when you were younger. How many times you got into trouble because of something your friend did? Not even anything you did, but something that your friend did. Who you hang around matters. The youth, they out here smoking with their friends. They out here drinking with their friends. They driving with their friends. They partying with their friends. They dating, they friends know about who they're dating, everything. All of this matters, right? These are the people that they go to. These are the people that they're influenced by. The decisions that they are making 9 times out of 10 is not coming from advice from their parents, but it's coming from advice from their friends. So we have to start making better decisions. The people we allow in our life, are they around for a reason? A season or a lifetime? And whichever it is, you better figure it out for the sake of you and maybe the sake of your child's life. We got to go to break. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth.
Make it seem it's best for me and it ain't no favor. If it wasn't for favors, they'll never call you. Sometimes I need someone to talk to. Sometimes this life can be confusing. Call your friends.
101.7 The Truth. Cool. It's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. We got a special guest in the building, y'all.
Whatever.
Mate. Mate is in the building.
What's up, Truth Nation? What's the word?
Man, Meech, listen. So, we've been talking friendships and all of that, but as a father, how much of your kids' business are you in when it comes to who they hang around?
All of it.
Yeah.
I mean, my daughter 19, so it's like, you know, I definitely know all her friends.
Yeah.
Know all of them. We know how they act, their personalities. Stuff they're interested in, we know places they going. I got a location on. She just went, different race as friends, you know what I mean? Black, white, Mexican, yeah. You know what I mean? And I just had the same conversation. You know, that's why we kind of made this topic today, because I just had this conversation with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just more so like, and I was, you see what's going on?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She out up north with her friends. And you know, her mom just, all her kids ain't white.
Do you think that it's a difference when young black girls hang around white girls versus the black boys around the white boys? And it's not all, because it doesn't apply to everybody. My kids have friends of different races,
like you
too.
Were saying earlier, didn't nothing with the situation with, what's his name?
Nolan Wells.
The only thing that made that situation fishy was that he did and they not.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, how he died.
And y'all didn't.
And if he did, how y'all don't know what happened?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If it was the way around, four black kids and one white dude, that wasn't nothing happened
Come
to that
on
white
now.
Boy.
Come on.
You know what I mean? That's just what we know as black people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we haven't seen nothing happen. Like,
yes.
You know, we have seen people get bullied or stuff like that, or, you know, people pick on their friend that's another race, but to this extent, this doesn't happen too many times.
Yes, and it keeps happening.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, and not just with kids.
Yeah.
It's happening to grown folks.
Yes.
It happened with women.
Yeah.
It happens too many times when it's just one black person in this group.
Yeah.
You know, in a group of friends, and always something happens, you know, not saying it's always a result to death, but it's always something. You know what I mean? You a group of white kids, a group of white friends you got, and now you the only one getting your business out here. You the only one losing your job.
Yeah.
You the only one losing your job. You the only one, you know, you got to defend yourself. You know what I mean? And, you know, we see that in entertainment all the time. You know what I mean? People questioning people's careers, getting questioned. Just like, a couple months ago, somebody just got ousted. As in an entertainment spot, I forgot who it was, but it's just too many times for, especially as a black man,
yeah,
to where it's like, okay, I know my white friends.
Yeah.
We're not taking them type of trips to where you're
Come
gonna
on.
Die.
Come on now. Come on.
We're not taking them type of trips. I mm-hmm. mean, that's just the gist of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And they be trying to shy away from it, you know. We've seen all the details, you know, now his phone pinging. How y'all got his phone, but not him? How he not aware? And this and that. You know what I mean?
And why y'all didn't say anything? Why y'all just now saying that y'all have his phone? Like, of it is, so there was another video from earlier that day that somebody took, and it was they were arguing at the beach earlier that mm-hmm. day, which grants motive. Which grants it as premeditation.
Yeah, you know I mean, the footage of that footage, I couldn't really pinpoint who was arguing, but if that's the reports, if that's, you know, they lure it up.
Yeah.
And all of that. And then just weeks prior, we was dealing with the black kid that got shot.
Carmella.
On the football field.
Yes.
Yeah, so, and that was white versus black. So it's like, you know, when is we not wrong?
Come on.
Or when is we wrong? Prove us wrong first.
Yeah.
But what people in our community be defending.
Mm-hmm.
Like, none of this is wrong.
And we have to teach our kids that do go to these suburban schools and hang around these rich white kids. We have to make them understand that they are not, I don't want to say equal, but that's the truth.
Yeah, I mean, because at the same time, we don't know what is it like to hang around rich black kids. We don't really know that.
Come on.
You know what I mean?
Privilege.
We don't really know what it's like to hang around rich black kids.
So, and the reason why I say that is because when something happens, they're protected, but you aren't. Not only that, when there's conversations and jokes being made.
I mean, they're able to afford the protection.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Afford it, and not even just afford it. They was brought up in the protection.
Yeah.
You know, I don't got nobody in my family a police officer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Nobody in my family a police officer.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, we don't have that layer of protection.
Protection.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then just even having that layer for the money to pay for protection, we don't have. You know what I mean? So, you know, and then the stereotype come in to where that's what people think that's what black people be on. So
these youth who are in situations like that, I feel like they deal with so much and they don't understand that it's not okay. It's not okay for them to make fun of you and your race. It's not okay. Like the stuff that I heard is stuff that shows how much they actually hate you.
That and we done got away from like how we used to grow up so much to where, you know, everybody say stuff is different. It's different now. It's 2026. It's you know, this and that. Like it's not nothing different about the stuff we see and that's happening, especially
it's not
when it's a white versus black thing.
It is not different. It's not different. And I just, man, I feel like we have to do a better job with this kumbaya stuff, man. Like you can have friends of different races, but don't make it to where your child is so blind that they forget that they are a young black man or a young black woman in this country, right? At the end of the day, their friends, some of them have great friends who are of the opposite race, but their friends aren't their parents. Mm-hmm. And racism, which is a system, not being prejudiced. Prejudice still exists too, but racism is still active and alive. And if something happens to them, they're not accounted for.
Racism is in the forefront.
It is.
Of everything we doing.
That's why, to me, I'm baffled that
our decision is based on.
Did you see the comment? His father said he don't feel like it had anything to do with race. And
I mean, you could feel that way, but we know what's going on.
But this coming from his father. You understand what I'm saying? This is the house which means to me, it's like, I'm not blaming him, but you basically sent your son out there blindly to think that in Mississippi.
Man.
In Mississippi, at a rich white school, with rich white friends, that your son is in, like, Allstate, in good hands.
I mean, show me somebody that's in, show me four black kids in Montana with one white kid.
Come on.
And they don't take care of him.
Come on. Shout out to the chat. Aaron is him said, I was around a lot of whites in high school. I was completely ignorant on how some thought. I can't hold all of them, but some was on BS, most definitely. And again, we're not holding to your point. You're right. It's not all of them, right? It's not all of them, but there's a lot of it, and it keeps happening.
I mean, growing up as a black man, it was way more white kids trying to be my friend than me trying to be their friend.
Yeah. And then it feels so heavy because it's like they have a way of isolating us, meaning like they pull us into their culture and their community on their property where they have grounds.
I mean, as a kid, you could feel more accepted over there because you'll grow up hearing everybody else want to do that.
Yeah.
Want to live that life.
Or you think you're accepted.
Yeah. So, I mean, like you think you're accepted because, you know, you grow up, your mom's them. They talking white when they get on the phone with the bill collectors. Ooh. Everybody trying
code
to, switching. You know, yeah, everybody trying to code switch or, you know, they doing, you know, trying to get in good, this and that, or button up when you go to school, this and that, or this, you know, you you trying to impress white folks all your life to where you finally get in. You know what I mean?
Man.
Like, that's where we been at growing up. So it's like, you know, once your kid just seamlessly become friends with white kids, you know what I mean? They think it's nothing of it. You know what I mean? They don't think, oh, this is Jimmy. And, you know what I mean? It's cool. And, you know, it's, you know, don't worry about it. Mine's 2026. That's how it used to be. No one's, you know, they're kind of brainwashing the kids in a sense, because they've been so meshed so long. They ain't had to endure. We, like, walking down the street when I was growing up was a little bit different. Like, black and white used to look at you funny. You know what I'm saying? As a black man. So now you still get, we was just walking with the intern one time. Bastille days was just, you know, white people, they don't move over.
Oh, yeah.
They don't say excuse me.
Yeah.
They don't move, you know. I not move over and still say excuse me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just some stuff, you know, growing up. And just being older, who's the bad people?
Yeah,
in a sense.
Absolutely. We got to go to break. Do not touch that dial. 101.7 The Truth.
You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember
what you 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct, man. Shout out to all my best friends. Today we was having a topic about friendship and how to determine who you should and shouldn't be around, as well as your children. What are we pouring into our children to make them understand that they need to discern and use discernment on whether people should be around for a season, reason, or a lifetime. And also, if this is an associate, a colleague, peer, a friend, a best friend, family, whatever it is, we just need to make sure that we are carefully analyzing and assessing the people in our life and in our children's life, because it is costing our children their life. Hanging around the wrong people can cost you your life physically, and you can wind up in a penitentiary. Right in prison. So those decisions are extremely important. Before we went to break, we were talking about the Nolan Wells situation and just about friendships, that friendship in particular overall, and how your friends are supposed to be your safe space, period. There's nobody on earth who should have a friend who sneak this through jokes and laugh it off, who put you in a situation to make you feel like you're going to die, who will put you in a situation that could potentially land you in jail, right? Without you being willing to be a part of these situations. Adults as well. We have to be careful and mindful about who we allow into our space. Who gets a seat at your table? Who are you asking to pull up and to have dinner with? It matters. All of that matters, right? Sit down with your friends, your current friends, and have and reflect on your friendship. How did y'all become friends? What are some of the challenges y'all went through? How did y'all get through them? How did y'all talk about it? Do this in front of your children and watch them make better decisions. Do this in front of your children and watch them hold their friendships to a higher standard. They won't be calling everybody their friend so quickly, because people have not proven why they should be your friend. You think just because they're nice and they support you, or they call you beautiful, or they nice and they I love you and all. No, that don't mean you my friend. That just mean you're being kind. Being kind does not mean you are my friend. And we have to set a better example. With this case in particular, we need to make sure that our young black men and black women out there, our black babies, our black youth, are not blinded by the fact of reality. And the reality is, what they have, we don't have. I don't care if they was white or Mexican, or if they was black and they was rich and their parents are judges and lawyers. That's an extra layer of protection that you don't have. You are not privileged. You are not entitled. You don't have those privileges. And you have to be able to pay attention to what is the play at hand. Because as we all know, and we often say, sometimes it's not your friend. Sometimes your friends are your worst enemies. And you have no idea because you've overlooked the jokes. You've overlooked, you know, the slander in the jokes. How they treat you because of whatever insecurity you have within you to want to fit in. This is not me talking about Nolan Wells. This is me talking about the average black child in these type of scenarios. As Meech just said, our whole lives, we're around people training us to fit in with white people. We have to talk a certain way. You got a code switch when you think, they say you talking professional, you talking white. Y'all know how it is when your mama, when you growing up and she calling We Energies or a Bell South or a Meritech and her voice change. Everything you're doing is something other than what your culture is. And then your children begins to grow up with this same type of mentality. And we're not, I'm not saying they can't have friends of different races. I'm saying explain to them who they are. So that when situations arises, if they get stopped by the police and they wonder why they're being treated differently, they understand why. Make them aware so that they are not in the world blind and that they can make better decisions about the friends that they choose to hang around. If what Nolan's friend says is true as far as the guys he was with doing drugs and all of that kind of stuff, then that's a start right there. That's a start right there. And y'all can say what y'all want to say. Like, kids, them rich white kids that be doing coke ain't compared. What? Our kids, weed. Okay, they smoke weed. But they ain't out here on coke. They not out here doing meth. And then peer pressuring their friends to do it as well. Thinking it's funny, thinking it's a joke because they're going to get off because mommy and daddy is a lawyer or a judge. We have to teach our babies to make better decisions and we have to lead by examples. They're going to see you. They're going to do what they see you doing. If you don't value your friendships, if you talk about your friends behind their back, if you don't have integrity with your friends, if you don't hold them down, if you're not a true friend, your children are going to pick up on that. And they'll begin to have situations where they're making bad decisions around the people that they're around because they're so blind. They don't understand the reality. They've missed all of the red flags because they want to be accepted and they just want to fit in. And because you're afraid of living a certain life and you've worked so hard to put your child in this private school away from what you quote unquote all of the violence and all of your people, only to wind up in a situation where the same thing happens, but in a different way. Teach them how to value their self first so that they can then value someone else who can be a great friend to them, especially with our young black babies, because they're lacking love. There are so many stories that keep happening where we're faced up against young black men going to jail or dying by groups of white boys. It's happening in our face in real time. And we're sitting up here. We're talking about it, but what actions are we taking? So if you have children who are a part of these schools, and listen, I'm not saying my children have friends of different races. I'm not saying that it's every child. But what I am saying is that if it's going to be them or your child, they're going to choose them first. I don't care how cool they are. I don't care how much of a friend they are to them. I don't care how much they say they love black people, how they would never do that. If it's them or your child, it's going to be your child. It's going to be them every time. They're going to choose themselves every time. So start training your children on how to choose themselves. I choose me over our friendship because I don't know what you're going to do if this situation arises. Granted, you have some who are ride or dies. They will. Okay, cool. Whatever. You rocking, I'm rolling. But right now, all I say is children, black children that want to be accepted. Black children who are put in situations that they probably don't even want to be in. They keep forgetting that they're black. That they don't have the same privileges. That they don't have the same coverage. The same entitlement. It's not the same. And then we sit here and we blame everybody but ourselves. I understand our culture as a people, but it's nothing like black culture. What is so wrong with our people that you don't want your children around our people? Come on, man. How else are they going to feel accepted? We got to do better. We got to do better. So as we close out, my call to action is have these conversations with your spouses, with your friends. Talk about how y'all met with your friends, your best friends. So whoever it is that you kick it with, start having these conversations and reflect on some challenges that you all went through and allow your children to be a part of that so that they can see what a real friendship looks like, so that they can understand that my friend, when I leave, my friend leave. Hey, we sharing locations. We texting as soon as we make it home. We're not separating from each other. If one of us say we feel a way about something, the other is going to follow suit. Got to do a better job. Have these conversations, man. Make sure y'all tap in tomorrow, 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. We got a special guest. Mr. Craig Berry will be in the building. We want to hear from you tomorrow, Truth Nation. Y'all have a good evening, and thank y'all so much for tapping in.